The book of Ephesians, please. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We preach through the Word of God. We are continuing our study in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, chapter 2. And our text this morning is verses 13 through 15 of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians 2, 13 through 15. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, what a great joy it is to come before You and worship You through praise and through song this morning. And I trust that over the next few minutes, that as we look into Your Word, would Your Holy Spirit perform Your work of edification in the lives of believers? If there's one here that does not know Christ as Savior, may today be that day of salvation. Lord, we can let so many things distract us from the preaching of the Word of God. Our lives are so busy, full of so many things. But may we quiet our hearts before You this hour. Work in our life, spiritually, feed us through Thy Spirit. There might be things that I don't touch upon that Your Holy Spirit can work through the Word in such a way that we're built up in our faith. Holy Spirit, perform Your work of correction and reproof and instruction in righteousness through the Word, for we pray it in Thy name. Amen. You'll notice in our text this morning, in verse 14, in the middle portion, He is our peace. In verse 15, it says that He establishes peace. So I want to preach two messages to you over the next 2 weeks about Christ, our peace. Christ, our peace, found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Verses 13 through 15. If there's something that you want, generally, it's maybe this is from the guy's perspective. You know, you come home from work and you just want things to be at peace. I want peace and quiet, but that's far from what normally happens from time to time. But we all want peace. But what about peace spiritually? What about peace spiritually before God? How do we achieve that? Well, we need to go back. You'll remember that there's an introductory word here in our text, and it's but. But there's a contrast from the previous verses that we read. So for those of you who were unable to be with us last week, understand this, please. It says that you are a Gentile in the flesh, verse 11 of the text. You are the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at one time separate from Christ. And so we said last time when we looked at this passage of Scripture, you're already at a loss. Number one, you're a Gentile. You're not Jewish. You're not looking for a Messiah. You don't have, and so where does that place you spiritually before God? You're a Gentile. You're not looking for a Messiah, the one who would come to save from sin. You're excluded from the citizenship, the commonwealth of Israel. You are a stranger to the covenant of promise, and you have no hope, and you are without God in the world. And we said, thank You very much for coming to church, all the encouragement that I needed in the world. But that's my spiritual state before a holy God prior to coming to Christ. And we said one of the reasons that we have to be so crystal clear about our condition is because it's like when you go to the doctor and you're dealing with disease or cancer, you have to be honest. You have to be frank. You have to be upfront. You can't just sugarcoat things. It has to be taken care of. It's like if you have a house and you got a bunch of dry rot, you don't just throw paint over top and call it good. You know, it doesn't work that way. You got to take care of things. And so spiritually, our condition, last week we just laid it right out. Hey, I am without hope. As a Gentile, as a sinner before God, I am without hope, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so how can I have peace? And so understand this, please. The achievement of peace. The achievement of peace, first of all, is accomplished by, understand this, a spiritual union. A spiritual union. How do I get peace with God? I have to have a spiritual union. Now, what is the first couple words in that verse? Understand this, please. Get this down. But what? Now, don't miss that little word now. Don't miss that word, but now. This is a great word. Because it's bringing you from those other verses that have said, you know what, you're lost. You don't have any hope. But as a believer, you can move, or as an individual, you can move from a place of no hope, of not having any citizenship in Israel, of not having any ability to come before God wholly. But now, it is a contrast, it is a transition from the past into a current spiritual state as a believer. Remember, the Apostle Paul was talking to the saints. So this is addressing the believer now who is already saved, but now, as you know, the housing market has just taken a hit. Who would ever thought that you would approach, you know, a time in real estate where there would be declining markets? You wouldn't think that would occur. And of all the bizarre things, Plumas Lake just south of Marysville there, a realtor was telling me that, you know, the developer was going under, and people who had bought a $400,000 house said now they're $200,000. So you know what? I'll go get a loan on the $200,000 house. And so they walk away from a $400,000 house in the same development and move into the $200,000 house and say, I don't care. Are you awake out there, or did I just say something weird? You're going, holy smokes. You know? And they go 7 years later. 7 years later, who cares about the bankruptcy? And I'll, you know, take the loss, or, you know, somebody else takes the hit. It's like, oh my goodness, what's going on there today? Because at one time, things were a lot higher, had more value. But what? But now, things are a lot different. And that reference to time, and that word that talks about what our spiritual condition is, what you were in the past, is not the same. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an effect right now. Right now, there is an effect. But now, how does this relate to your spiritual condition? We're not talking about something that is progressive, but that you can realize it immediately. The significance is the current spiritual condition of the believer. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is what? Now, no condemnation. The effect of salvation upon your heart as a believer before a holy God, right now, there is no condemnation when I come to Christ. Folks, my sins are forgiven. I do not stand before God condemned because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, I stand justified before a holy God. That's another indication, folks, that you cannot work your way to heaven. Because it's realized when? Right now. Right now. If you're working your way to heaven, that's progression. Folks, and our standing before a holy God when we come to Christ is an effect right now. Yeah. Right now. Right now. So how do I go from this position of hopelessness without hope to this one of significance and hope and realize right now what I have? But now, what's the next two words? But now what? In Christ. In Christ Jesus. I have a spiritual union with Christ, and it is in Christ Jesus. Note the word order, please. It doesn't say in Jesus Christ. It says in Christ Jesus. Well, what's the significance of that? The emphasis is upon the word Christ here. And Christ is another word for what word which begins with M? Messiah, the anointed one. So remember now, before you're a Gentile, you're not looking for a Messiah. You're not looking for one to bring any hope. You don't care about that if you're not Jewish. But when the Messiah, the anointed one, comes, you are united with Christ. You are in Christ Jesus. And so Christ is emphatic. It is emphatic, emphasizing that relationship with the Messiah. Now this next sentence, it's one of those things, you know, you're reading a commentary, you go, wow, this is really cool. So I'll share it with you. Okay? In the emphasis of the relationship with the Messiah, I am spiritually united with Him. Spiritually united with Him. So here we go. We are in living, present, personal fellowship with the Savior. When I am in Christ, I am living, I am in a living, present, personal fellowship with Him when I'm in Christ Jesus. In our theology, we talk about this spiritual union with Him as described in Christ Jesus, or in Christ, and I am spiritually united with Him. Paul uses this word over 20 times in the book of Ephesians. Over 20 times in the book of Ephesians. And so note the word, note these words over and over again. When we go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and all the blessings that we have, blessed be the God. Verse 3 of Ephesians. Just look how many times it's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The last two words, verse 3, in Christ. Just as He chose us, what? In Him. That's in Christ before the foundation of the world. In love, He predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. We are in the Beloved in verse 16, another reference to Christ. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him. Verse 9, we are in Christ, summing up all things in Christ, things in heaven and things above. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. All these things. Verse 13, in Him. You also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you're sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are spiritually united with Him. And that fellowship, that relationship, that union, you now have because but now you are in Christ Jesus as a believer. Right now. It's used over and over in the Apostle Paul throughout the other epistles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. To those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 2. Faithful and brethren in Christ. Philippians chapter 1. All the saints in Christ who are in Philippi. Folks, Now, because we are a believer, I am spiritually united in Him, and I have a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritually united with Him. The story, I say story, it's a testimony, i.e., as I would read it, I assume it to be true because there's a name attached and it's in the first person. Man and his wife, they waited 15 years for a child, but that was never to happen. So one day, they had a lead on an adoption. And he says, I remember standing in front of the judge on that day of the adoption. He pointed his finger and asked me, is anyone coercing you to adopt this little boy? And he said, we assured him that we were doing this out of love. And then the judge made this statement. From today on, he is your son. He may disappoint you. He may even grieve you, but he is your son. Everything you own one day will be his, and he will bear your name. Then he looked to the clerk and gave this command. So order a change in this child's birth certificate, and may it reflect that these are parents of this child. It was then that I realized that my Heavenly Father loved me so much that without coercion, He loved me and gave His all to me. And on that day, He changed my name, and I gladly bear His name and His image. That picture of adoption, that picture of John chapter 1, the right and the privilege of becoming the sons of God and coming into that fellowship, is the picture of the spiritual union of what we have in Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, I am in Him. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This indicates to us what we have in Christ. So I achieve peace with God through a spiritual union in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we continue reading the text. But now, in Christ Jesus, understand this please, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. First of all, the sacrificial work that Jesus Christ accomplished for me, as it's mentioned in here, that you formerly were afar off, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ, it brings about a change in my position. The connection or the description is this, the change in position, to be far off, as it says in the New American Standard, or far away in the NIV. Most of you have that. And you are indeed then brought near. And the reference is going back to those other verses in the book of Ephesians. Says, remember that time before you came to the Lord Jesus Christ? You were far off and you were without hope. You were far away. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are now brought near. You are now brought near. And so you now have a change in position, as it would mention in those phrases. Who can remember of this, and who would have thought when Reagan was standing there at the Berlin Wall and gave his speech, General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, Reagan said, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate, Mr. Gorbachev. Open this gate, Mr. Gorbachev. The famous words, what? Tear down this wall. This wall marking the division between freedom and communism in the city of Berlin, and you know the history. What happened? Well, there was that day when that wall came down, and they made holes in that wall, and those that would have been far away were brought near, and they were brought together as one, and there was freedom. Far away and brought near. Far away. That wall, even though that it was closed, I mean, they might as well have been
3,000 miles apart, you know. But everything was brought near, and you've come together. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now understand this, please. This next word is key. But now in Christ Jesus, who were formerly far off have been, the word is brought. The word is brought. In your NIV of the New American Standard. In the King James, it translates it made, or in the literal translation, it is the word to become, or became, to become. It is this, to come into existence. When you were brought from one place to another, it was change. It means change. Things are not the same. To come into existence. There is a transformation. So it's more than just going from one place to another. There's a change in existence. A total transformation. Total transformation. I often wonder what would happen to people who want to espouse evolution if they would find fossils of the monarch butterfly and tell us how many millions of years it would take for the, you know, caterpillar to go to the butterfly. And of course, it doesn't take millions of years, but that's just... Anyway. But you start off with a what? A little caterpillar, right? And then voila, the time comes and, you know, and he says, I guess I'll become a little chrysalis. You know, and then he spins that little thing, and in he goes, and suddenly the time comes when, you know, towards the end, you can just start to begin to see the wings, and what happens? You know, it becomes a butterfly. There's a total change in transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And when you were an unbeliever and you were far off and you had no hope and you weren't part of Israel, then when you came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a total transformation spiritually. Jesus Christ is not simply just added into your life. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new what? A new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are new in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But by His doing, you who are in Christ, notice again, you who are in Christ Jesus. There are the two words again, or the three, you know, in Christ Jesus, that spiritual union. He became to us wisdom from God, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. Folks, how is it? How is it that spiritually, that before God, I can be so far away prior to coming to Christ and this total transformation occur? Spiritually, how's that accomplished? Do you work for it? Well, that doesn't sound right. Why? Because Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. What is it in verse 8? It is a what? It's a gift, not as a result of what? Works. I mean, this spiritual condition that is changed, how is that accomplished? Well, it's answered. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near, how? By the blood, through the blood. Mark it down, put exclamation points behind it. Do not minimize the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Pastor Dave, that, you know, what does that mean? Well, It's a reference to, and this might sound like a big word, the efficacy of the blood. What does efficacy mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. Efficacy sounds like another English word. Come on. Not effort. Effect. Efficacy is to means, in short, to produce a desired effect. So when theologians or pastors, or when guys get up on Sunday morning and decide to get your Scrabble? There we go. The word game. All right. You know, everything's all scrabbled up, you know. Try to get you to think the efficacy to produce a desired effect. When we talk about that, and when we mention the efficacy of the blood, you might hear that from time to time. We're talking about the fact that the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ produces a spiritual effect upon you. Understand that, please. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ produces a spiritual effect to you and upon you. Do I have any ability to produce a desired effect? Yeah, I heard that. For those that pop sing, say no. The answer is no. No, right. There is what? How many mediators? There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no man humanly upon earth that can produce a spiritual effect upon you. I do not have any ability to absolve sin, to take away your sin. No man can do that except the man Christ Jesus. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is what produces the spiritual effect upon you to bring you from a state of being so far away from God without hope to a point in which you are brought near. Brought near. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, you are redeemed with the precious blood as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood. Understand this, please, all the way back in the Old Testament. For it is the blood by reason of life that makes atonement. The only thing that can cover and appease the wrath of a holy God is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like this. I'm sure you've heard of the disease, sickle cell anemia, but that is a blood disorder. Now, can you get sickle cell anemia through transmission in the air by breathing? No. It's hereditary. And when you get that blood disorder, because of the change in the genes through the parents, normal red blood cells are smooth and round. But because of the disease and that mutated gene, the blood cells stick together and form long rod-like structures, and they become stiff, assuming a sickle shape, thus the term sickle cell. And the shape causes these red blood cells to pile up, causing blockages and damaging vital organs and tissue. So then sickle cells, your body begins to go and say, well, that's not right. We can't have that. So then you have other blood cells attacking those cells. And the sickle cells are destroyed rapidly in the bodies of the people who have the disease, causing anemia. and then thus you have the name sickle cell anemia. Very good. So then they block the flow of blood through the vessels, resulting in lung tissue, and you can have acute chest syndrome, pain, stroke, sick. You can be very sick. There's only, they can treat different things through pain medication, and but what is the only cure for sickle cell anemia? Blood transfusion or the bone marrow to produce the right kind of blood. You have to eventually have the right kind of blood. Folks, spiritually, we have the wrong kind of blood from our parent, Adam. The Bible says, because we have come from Adam, we all what? Sin or, what's the word, die. For the wages of sin is what? Death. Spiritually, it's like I have sickle cell anemia before a holy God. Because I've come all the way back from the beginning of creation, and I've come from Adam, I've got bad blood. And I need the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who paid for my sin. The wages of sin, the result of being in my sin, the wages of sin is what? Death. My account must be paid. The cost is death. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died for me on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood for me. And it is through His blood, a spiritual blood transfusion, if you will, that the efficacy of the blood, the efficiency, the effect that has occurred spiritually. And you go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. It is in Him that we have redemption. How are we redeemed? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. In Him we have redemption. How? Through His blood. Through His blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Well, folks, I went into a lot of detail this morning about all these phrases and about all these words because I wanted you to understand clearly, as best as I could explain it to you from Scripture, of how an individual who could be so far off and so far removed from a holy God can be brought to a place where they are now near God. Far off, then brought near. It's like there is that dividing wall. And spiritually, it's like we are living. East Berlin. Did I get it right? And I want to get to freedom, and it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some of you that may have been thinking, you know what? I'm a pretty good person. I haven't robbed the bank. Last time I checked, you know, pretty faithful. Not too bad. Citizen of the United States of America. But you know what? Those things aren't good enough. Because before the Apostle Paul explained all those things, he said what? You were a Gentile. You weren't looking for a Messiah. You were so far removed from the covenants of promise. You were without Christ, folks, and you had no hope at all in the world. But you can be brought near. How is that accomplished? Through Christ. So understand this, please. Look at our text in Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For what? He what? Himself. What is interesting about those phrases when we go to that section, the appropriation of peace, How do I get it? Understand this, please. It is based on his person. And all the translations, major translations, say he himself. But in the Greek, it's one word. You say, well, Pastor Dave, why did you tell me that for? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because in the translation, all the translators, when they've come to the Greek and they've come to that sentence, they've understood the emphasis of that pronoun. And they said, we can't just say it's just, we can't just use the one English word he. It's not strong enough. We just can't come to that word and just go, and he is our peace. Because I'm not communicating to you clearly the emphasis that God wants to place upon the person of Christ. I have to, when I come to this in English, I have to say, he himself. It is Christ alone. There is no other person. There is no salvation in any other person except the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself is our peace. It is the person of Christ on whom we focus upon. Isaiah chapter 9. He himself, he truly, he and none other. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, his name is what? The Prince of Peace. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Through him he reconciles all things to himself, having made peace through his blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, it is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we say you must believe upon Christ and his death alone upon the cross of Calvary and nothing else. And when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, one of the words that he said on the end, he said, it is what? Finished. And the work of your salvation was complete and done. And there was no other work left to do. There was no other work left to do. Now, can you imagine? You know, don't you hate it? If you've just finished cleaning something, and you know, you think it's pretty clean, but somebody else comes behind you and wants to clean some more. You know, what would you... You know, I just... Wasn't it good enough? Right? You kind of been there, you know, somebody, well, I just did that. Or you paint somebody else, and then somebody else has to come along and paint... Wasn't good enough, right? Didn't get all the in the cracks and the corner and the crevices like you know, because some people are really picky like me. And when somebody does that, you just want to go, you know what I'm talking about. You do things and somebody else has to come right behind you and do something, right? Jesus Christ hung upon the cross of Calvary. He said, "It is what? Finished." Without trying to be rude to you, who do you think you are if you can think you can add to what Christ has done? You can't. Because it's finished. He himself, it is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself is our peace. It's in him. If the appropriation of peace is based upon the person of Christ, and so understand this morning. Come to him. You come to him. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life. Take away my sin and make me your child. You come to him. He is our peace. And what happens? He himself is. And what are the next two words in verse 14? He himself is what? Our peace. A word of possession. Ours. It becomes our possession. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our peace. Peace. It's our peace. so it's yours. He's your focus. He is what you look to.
In our reading and in our scripture this morning, before in Romans, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Some of you have come this morning and you got a lot of junk going on. There's just a lot of junk going on. You're dealing with a lot of stuff in your life, whatever it might be. And when you come to church, sometimes you're bringing in the baggage. I understand that. And I'm not trying to minimize anything that you might be going through. That's not what I intend. But for the believer who stands in Christ, what's your focus? Where does your confidence rest? Where does your hope lie? And what the devil wants to do is he wants to say, you know that person, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to see how much I can just muddy up everything so you can forget all that. Because read our text in Romans chapter 5. You've been justified by faith. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, this is the person of Christ, you have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we then exalt our hope in the glory of God. That becomes our focus. And when you focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of this other junk doesn't really matter. It's really not as important as you think it is. Because that's our confidence, that's our hope. Because remember, before, you were a Gentile and you didn't have any. One of the greatest blessings that you can do, or, you know, for the pastor, when you go visit someone, especially if they're in their, you know, they're older, and we certainly don't know. Life is what? A vapor. Appears for a little while and vanishes away. But there's something about the seasoned saint, shall we say, that says, I just can't wait. I just can't wait to see the Lord and see Him. The devil says, I don't want your focus to be upon Him. Not only this, we exalt in our what? Tribulations. Our tribulation brings about a perseverance. A perseverance brings about a character. A proven character brings about a hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. The church needs to get back to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's in which we stand. That is our hope. That is our confidence. It is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we exalt Him and Him alone. And that's what you need to do every day and every moment. Because that is where true peace lies. That's where true peace lies. And so all this other junk doesn't matter. But He does. Believer, would your attitude and spiritual hope this morning be focused upon Christ? Because that's where it really is. And secondly, if you're here this morning and you've never come to Christ, to realize that you could stand before God holy and justified, having your sins forgiven, and you stand before God like the white fallen snow,
like white fallen snow. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as what? White as snow. Wow. Would you focus upon the person of Christ? And if you've never come to Him, would you? Would you? Every head bowed and every eye closed.